Fashion Week's bright lights are exposing more than just the latest runway styles. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First to Catalonia, where students and pro-independence workers are taking to the streets as part of a general strike. Catalans are calling for improved social policies like a 35-hour work week. But the discontent is also fueled by outrage at Spain for putting on trial a dozen politicians who pushed for Catalan independence 2 years ago. Berta Barbet is a researcher at the Autonomous University of Barcelona.
In the last year, there's been an increase in the disruptive protests. They used to be very peaceful protests, and now we're seeing like a lot of tires being burned and this kind of slightly more disruptive protests.
And so what's the aim of this protest? What are they asking for?
The claims are slightly diffused. Like, they're protesting for the trial that's going on in Madrid against the separatist leaders, but also they're trying to push for independence to take place and for more radical actions to develop.
Now, today's protest is the second this month, and it's the biggest strike since the 2017 independence referendum. So this movement still seems to have momentum. How does that factor into the snap elections that the Spanish prime minister called for in April?
It is a very well-established, integrated movement in social networks, so it's likely to not disappear in any point. That means that probably we'll still see a lot of separatist votes in the snap election, and this also means that the conflict is going to be there for Spain and for Catalonia in the long run. Like, it's not likely that these people are going to go home and forget about everything that has happened in the last years.
And the government led by Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has been reliant on Catalan support, right? So the separatist issue is likely to come up in the snap election in April.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was elected with their votes, although he couldn't pass the budget with their votes because the situation kind of worsened very quickly. So this is going to be an issue in the debate. There's going to be a lot of criticism. He's going to try to portray himself as the person who's able to kind of solve the problem because he's willing to sit with them and talk with them. And so we'll see how the public opinion feels about this debate.
Berta Barbet speaking to me there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed this morning. That's after fresh figures in Europe showed manufacturing on the continent continued to struggle in February while services rebounded. And shares of Standard Chartered fell as much as 1% in Hong Kong. That's after the bank said it set aside $900 million to cover possible U.S. penalties related to sanctions breaches. Now, a growing chorus for more regulation of social media companies led the UK Parliamentary Committee this week to dub Facebook a digital gangster. Now, UK Culture Secretary Jeremy Wright is headed to the social network's headquarters in California to have a chat with its boss, Mark Zuckerberg. He wants more answers about how the company deals with fake news and protects user data. Mr. Wright told the BBC the California-based company's days of self-regulation are over.
But I do think it's important for us to say clearly that the period of time that we've been through where we've simply urged social media companies to do better and left them to regulate themselves is a period that's now coming to an end. We're talking about the design of a scheme that the UK government has every right to determine it should impose upon those who wish to operate online and reach UK citizens. And the penalties that must be available must be significant enough to make those online companies sit up and take notice and take full account of their responsibilities and meet those.
Jeremy Wright. As Fashion Week moves from London to Milan, models are sporting the latest styles, but also racking up debt. Ekaterina Orshaganova, who founded the first French association working to protect models' rights, explains the problem.
I think that the subject of money is still kind of taboo, because it's true that the image you project is so important, and fashion is all about this glamour, this dream. And models, sometimes they're not, you know, from the very wealthy backgrounds. I wasn't in very big debts, but I always knew that I had some debt hanging there because of travels. You know, when you don't have work all the time, it's just piling up. You discover it on your statement, which your agency provides you, where you see various expenses which will be deducted from your account. And in most of the countries, models are independent contractors. So it seems kind of normal, like you're running your own business, so you have expenses. But in France, models are not independent contractors. In France, models are employees, and that's why we are underlining the importance of, you know, basic guarantees which are not respected by the agencies.
And so what are you doing to help other people facing the similar problem in this industry?
So at the beginning, we started consulting models on various matters. And sometimes we just discover a real disaster behind the numbers because the documents are really not very clear. Now we're trying to get to the bottom of it with the help of our lawyers and our collaborators.
What does the industry need to do on its own to become more transparent in this way? Like you said, it's a problem from country to country. It varies depending on how they classify workers. But just overall for the industry, what more needs to be done?
Information is the key, and that models need to be informed in a very clear way from the very beginning what they have to expect. I know that when models start very early, neither them nor their parents are aware of what expenses are awaiting them. The advanced expenses are the expenses for the promotion and development of the career. And under this, you can put anything. The agency can't exist without a model. It's not that they're being kind to us and like, oh, I'm representing this model. You should be thankful for that.
Ekaterina Orshaganova there. Finally, scientists think they finally have the answer to why zebras have stripes. No, it's not to confuse predators, but to ward off biting flies carrying deadly diseases. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.